This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
29 days away from the start of Houston Texans training camp, your Houston Texans will be on the practice field preparing for the 2019 season. One of the opponents during that season, the New England Patriots. They come to town on December 1st. It's going to be Sunday Night Football live on NBC. It follows Football Night in America. Nothing better than getting to sit back, relax, watch the first and second slates of NFL games on a Sunday, and then watch your team on national TV battling against the best dynasty that this league has ever seen. Julian Edelman, he's part of that dynasty. Tom Brady, also part of the dynasty as well. And Tom Brady is doing something that he's never done in his entire career.
Well, he needs to get Instagram, first of all, before he does anything else.
He's on social media, and he's tweeting quite a lot. Julian Edelman was on Pardon My Take, courtesy of Barstool Sports, and he was asked about old man Tom Brady all of a sudden finding social media.
It is so funny to see the 180 with him on this, because I was, you know, 10 years ago, 11 years ago in 2009, I was like the first kid in the room with like Twitter and Instagram and stuff, and I'd be on my phone, and he'd yell at me, get out of your phone, bro, and get in your playbook. And like now he gets back. I'll be on the internet, and he'll be liking photos that were posted 10 minutes ago. Like, I'm like, how did that even get liked?
Yeah.
And he's always scanning the gram.
Tom Brady's like when your parents found Facebook.
Yes.
Like,
that's exactly what it is.
When Facebook first came out, parents were so against it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, why are you on Facebook? Why don't you just call people? Why don't you just text them? What are you doing on Facebook? As soon as parents started getting on Facebook, they're obsessed with it.
Mm-hmm.
They're absolutely obsessed with it. And they have no shame when it comes to creeping.
The entire demographic of Facebook has changed. It started out as a college only thing, right? Only college students could do it. It started out at Harvard. We know the story, of course. And then it kind of said, okay, it grew into like regular, you know, recent college. Right now, I'll have to look it up, but the demographics like skews into the late 40s, you know, big time. That's exactly what Tom Brady is. And by the way, he just got on Twitter like a month ago, right?
2 months ago, maybe?
Yeah.
Something like that,
He hasn't been on Instagram very long, but although he's been doing Instagram longer. But he tweets, it's like he goes, I got to tweet something. And it's kind of awkward, you know? Like, he tweeted a picture.
I feel like he's pretty good at it.
He does it a lot. That doesn't make him pretty good.
Matt Hammond.
Like, he tweeted a he tweeted a picture of himself with Peyton Manning. They're both wearing suits, and it's a sunny day. They got their sunglasses on. Their arms are over each other's shoulder, laughing. And he tweeted, spoiler alert, ... We've been friends this whole time, talking about him and Peyton. And I'm like, I looked at you, I'm like, not a spoiler. That doesn't spoil anything.
How come parents have no shame with Facebook, too? They don't understand the art of creeping.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they will stalk someone out and then interview them and make it very clear that they stalked them out.
Mm-hmm.
It's strange. But Facebook has changed very much. Tom Brady has social media. This might be his downfall. Forget father time. Social media might be the downfall of Tom Brady.
That's going to end his career.
It's over. It's over. The dynasty as we know it is over. Mm-hmm. Tom Brady's coming crashing down because of social media. Other news around the NFL, the Bengals announced that rookie offensive tackle Jonah Williams, he had left shoulder surgery to repair a torn labrum. He's going to miss the entire 2019 season, but he is expected to make a full recovery. This is bad news for the Cincinnati Bengals, and it's always sad to hear a rookie have a season-ending injury before a season even starts. This is actually, ironically, the second straight year that a first-round pick out of the SEC conference, mm-hmm, left tackle has had such a thing happen. Jonah Williams this year out of Alabama. Isaiah Wynn of the New England Patriots last year from Georgia. He's probably going to be their starting left tackle this year. When he got hurt last year, That's what led the New England Patriots to trade for Trent Brown from the San Francisco 49ers, who cashed in with the Raiders this offseason. Things kind of come full circle here, John Lopez.
Yeah, it does. Look, the Bengals in general have had horrible luck with their draft picks. I want to say only one player in the last five first-round draft picks have played more than a couple hundred snaps. Most of them are in the single digits, you know. They've had bad luck. I think Jonah Williams is going to be a stud. He's going to be a monster. I think he's going to be a great NFL player for a long time. Just horrible that it happened now.
A lot of people wanted the Texans to get Jonah Williams. Yeah. I know people were very high on him. You knew he was going to go a little bit earlier, but that was a guy that I want to say John Harris had him listed as his top offensive lineman. I know Seth was very high on him, and you know now he's not going to play at all this season. Could you imagine if you know this happened to one of the Texans? It would be heartbreaking. So hopefully Jonah Williams recovers. Hopefully he's back on the field in 2020. O.J. Simpson, my gosh. Speaking of people on Twitter, this guy might be the biggest moron on the face of the earth. This is O.J. Simpson yesterday on the 10-year anniversary of the death of Michael Jackson, reminiscing on the life of MJ.
Hey, Twitter world. You know, I woke up this morning, they were talking about Michael Jackson's 10th anniversary. I actually got to be good friends with Jermaine. Years later, I was playing tennis in my backyard with a neighbor when he got word that his nephew was sent home from summer camp because they found out he had cancer, and I guess it had something to do with insurance. And I called Michael. He was real hot there to see if he would help. And we got together to help in the beginning of Camp Good Times, a camp for kids with cancer. Rest in peace, Michael. Take care.
Hey, OJ. OJ, don't sit there and talk about opening camps for kids with Michael Jackson.
Hey, Twitter world.
Come on, man.
And what's the name of the camp again?
Camp Good Times. OJ.
I'm not even going to comment.
OJ.
Hell no.
OJ. Come on, man. Come on, dude.
Not even going to say anything about that.
Come on, dude.
What's the name of the camp?
Come on. Camp Good Times. Come on, OJ. Jeez. Josh McCown's the latest member of the media to leave DeAndre Hopkins off his top wide receiver list. We saw David Carr do it. Now Josh McCown, recently retired, going to be an analyst in the NFL, might be a coach eventually. He put out his top five wide receivers. He had Julio Jones number one, Michael Thomas number two, Odell Beckham number three, Julian Edelman number four, and Mike Evans number five. No DeAndre Hopkins on that list.
All right, you can just wad that list up and throw it away. Look, I get Chris Sims singing about Deshaun Watson. He's projecting, right? Because we all know what he can be, what he's done at Clemson, what he did, you know, in spurts here already.
Chris Sims put Deshaun Watson number five on his quarterback list, if you're just tuning in.
Ahead of people like Drew Brees and Tom Brady.
Might have been a little bit much.
Which were 8 and 9, I believe, or somewhere in
9
there.
9 and 10.
9 and 10 for some ungodly reason. But if you want to project that, fine, that's your opinion. But Josh McCown is saying right now, that right now, whether you're talking about right now or projecting for Nuke, he's top three. I think he's top one.
He's the most disrespected superstar that I've seen in a long time. And I think a lot of times we have imaginary chips on our shoulder when we try to fight battles for local athletes not getting national love. I think the James Harden crybaby fest that goes back and forth is just a little bit over the top.
Because
everybody knows that James Harden's one of the best players in the NBA, regardless of how much you criticize him. But DeAndre Hopkins, that guy gets so disrespected, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And to put Julian Edelman and Michael Evans, I like Michael Evans. I'm not saying he can't get
I like all these guys.
But Michael Evans is not better than DeAndre Hopkins.
I would put Edelman in my top five. Maybe five.
Would you?
Maybe five.
I would not.
Yeah, he's on the fringe, but I absolutely would do it. Now that I look at that list, who would I take off?
I wouldn't.
Yeah, I would put Hopkins one. Who would I take off if I leave? He'd probably be six or seven. Yeah.
Okay, that's very nice of you.
Yeah.
I'm not saying.
No, I'm just saying I don't mind your list.
Hurting your wrist there, are you?
Huh?
You're not hurting your wrists, are you?
No.
Just making sure.
Why?
Prisoner of the moment with this Julian Edelman in the top five of receivers, John Lopez.
You want to go over some numbers? Can I interest you in some stats?
Yeah, you can interest me in a guy who's never made a Pro Bowl. I mean, good Lord. My goodness. Are we serious right now?
Where does he rank in postseason?
I mean, he might be a top 10 receiver. Julian Edelman might be a top 10 receiver. That's a volume stat. Postseason receptions is a volume stat.
Yeah.
That's a Tom Brady stat.
Yeah, because he's the only one that's played that many games in the postseason.
He's probably up there. I would say he's probably up there with games played. He's second behind Jerry Rice. I mean, you
want to talk about the regular season?
Yeah.
Catches in the last five years, 105, 92, 61 in nine games.
It's cute.
98,
it's cute.
74 in 12 games.
It's cute.
He's top. He's right on the fringe. I didn't say he was top three. I think he's on the fringe of top five.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Well, you and Josh McCown should go have lunch and discuss y'all's Julian Edelman list. I think that would be fun.
It'd be a fun lunch with Josh McCown.
Yeah, Josh McCown's a good guy. He's going to be a good coach one day. When NBA free agency begins Sunday, the Rockets will pursue Jimmy Butler. This according to ESPN. The caveat here is they don't have the cap space to do it, so they would have to convince Jimmy Butler to work. Tell the Sixers that he wants them to orchestrate a sign-and-trade, which makes sense because it means they'll get something for Butler rather than him just leaving. However, the Rockets, to make this work, would most likely have to give up two of the following three players: Clint Capella, Eric Gordon, and PJ Tucker. I say hell no to this. I don't understand this. And when you heard Daryl Morey a couple days ago at the NBA Awards show say this, it makes it even more confusing.
Most teams are scrambling to keep their starting unit together. We got ours going into next year. We've had times when we deserve terrible coverage. It's not now. Like, we should, the discussion should be Rockets favored in next year and let people beat that up.
All right, there's a lot of things going on in that in those two quotes there. Foremost, he's told you and me the exact same thing. A lot of people are scrambling for their starting lineup. He actually mentioned his top six players. But we're going to stay pat with ours. Well, then there's trade talk with Chris Paul. There's a trade report with Chris Paul and the Knicks. There's this sign-in trade going on right now that's being reported. So which one is it? I get it. Lion season happens, you know. But you're saying we're standing pat, we're happy, and then we're trying to trade everybody. I don't get that. The other part is you're not favored to win. I mean, like, statistically, and he's a mathematician, he's a genius. Right now, if you look at most books, sports books for the 2020 season, 2019-2020 season, the Rockets rank no better than the fourth or fifth favorite. So that's wrong, too. So you are trading people. You're not going to keep your core. You're not going to be – you're currently, literally, not the favorite to win the conference or the championship. And on top of that, what do you mean this is not a good time to be critical of the Rockets? There has never been a better time outside of the, you know, when they're in the lottery or something, to be critical of what's going on in that organization. When you got the owner doing what he's doing, you're firing assistant coaches without the head coach's consent or knowledge. You're talking about, you know, dissension between Chris Paul and James Harden. You got all these things. There's never been a more time. Yeah, we can criticize you right now. Now's the time.
I don't think Daryl Morey quite gets it, how it works when you become among the elite teams in the NBA. I really don't understand. I feel like Daryl Morey, for all the progressing he's done, it seems like at times that he just doesn't understand that Kobe Bryant got the criticism, Dirk Nowitzki got the criticism, Kevin Garnett got the criticism. Mm-hmm. When you're an elite player and you're a future Hall of Famer, the criticism comes, especially when you're 30 years old and you haven't won a championship. Charles Barkley got the criticism. Everybody gets it. And when you're the biggest competition to the Golden State Warriors, they don't treat you like everybody else. He keeps saying, you know, well, we're the closest to the Warriors. If we suck, then 28 teams suck and all this kind of stuff. Daryl, you're on a high. You have higher standards because of the job you've done. You put yourself in position to endure this criticism. The standards are higher for you. It doesn't matter what you say. With that said, I think a Jimmy Butler trade would be the beginning of the end for Daryl Morey. Mm-hmm. I think it would all be downhill from here if Daryl Morey made this trade. Eric Gordon's one of the most unappreciated athletes in Houston. In fact, Eric Gordon carried Chris Paul against the Warriors. He carried him many times in the playoffs. That's 16 points off the bench. That's a guy who can fill in for Chris Paul when he's getting those DNPs or when he's hurt. That's a guy who can help do what James Harden does and be started with both of them. Clint Capella, for as bad as he was in the playoffs, he's your only inside scoring presence. DeAndre Jordan, let's say that you do sign him to the mid-level exception. We've already seen him clash with Chris Paul. We already have enough personalities here in Houston, assuming that you add Jimmy Butler. Do you really want to do that? Bring back the core increase the depth, and run it back. You don't need a super team anymore. I got news for you. Kevin Durant's out for next season, okay? Klay Thompson's going to miss most of next season, okay? You're not chasing the Warriors. Don't sit here and function like you were supposed to function the last few years when Golden State was a super team. They're not that anymore. Mm-hmm. You have the most battle-tested core in the NBA. Don't sit here and overreact and get rid of guys like Eric Gordon and Clint Capella, well, who are valuable assets to what you've done the last few years.
And here's the other part of this, and that is Jimmy Butler. First of all, you lose Capella. Maybe you bring in DeAndre Jordan, who knows, but you lose Capella, you lose Gordon, or you lose Capella and you lose P.J. Tucker, which would be a big loss, obviously. But you bring in Jimmy Butler, and that most NBA experts, not just me sitting here in Houston, Texas, watching the NBA, most NBA experts who are around the league on a daily basis will tell you that Jimmy Butler is fuel to the fire in terms of the locker room, teammates, general managers, personnel around the organization. Hell of a player. I mean, the dude can flat out hoop on both ends, you know, and that's where he would really help this team. On both ends of the floor, he can flat out hoop, but he's had issues, yelling matches with owners even when he was in Minnesota, and certainly had some disagreements with teammates and talking down to him, yelling at him. And some people might say that's leadership, that's trying to bring the most out of him. That's fine, but do that with Chris Paul and James Harden, you know, who are already, by a lot of accounts, kind of on the outs, and you throw Jimmy Butler in there, you better get it right, because that could be, like you said, the beginning of the end. Hey, Figgy.
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, how are you, man?
Hey, what's up?
What does my man to my left inexplicably put on steaks?
Ranch.
Like a big dummy. So you're a ranch dressing expert.
Sure am.
You think you know your ranch dressings?
I do. Better than my ketchups.
Well, there is a food magazine that has ranked all the ranch dressings on the market.
Is Saltgrass on
there?
Don't
look. Don't look at my list.
Is Saltgrass on there?
Don't look. I don't know if they have restaurants or not. Or do they sell that over the counter?
No. Okay. Saltgrass Ranch is in the top two.
A Buffalo Wild Wing? Pretty good. And I'm not even a ranch guy.
Nah, dude. Saltgrass is homemade.
All right. I'm going to give you five ranch dressing that you can buy in the grocery store. I want you to put them in order. See if you are, if you're right or not with regard to a food magazine.
I only buy one kind.
But you've had several.
No, I only buy one kind. I've only bought one kind for 10 years.
I'm telling you. I thought you knew ranch dressing.
Hidden Valley is all I buy. If that's not number one, that list is trash.
Okay. I'm going to give you five. Ken's Steakhouse ranch dressing. Trader Joe's. Hidden Valley, Kraft, and Wishbone.
Okay.
That's all in order?
No. Those are the five. Okay. I want him to put them in order. They have the order of the top five. I mean, give them to you again. Ken's Steakhouse Ranch Dressing, Trader Joe's, Hidden Valley, Kraft, and Wishbone.
Okay.
Give me your order.
Hidden Valley's number
one. Figgy, you give me yours too, because I know you're thinking about it.
Hidden Valley's number one for sure. If it's not, then I'm not playing anymore. Mm-hmm. Straight up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Am I right or wrong?
No, give me your list. Give me one through five.
You got to say ding.
No, I will let you know how wrong or right you are.
Hidden Valley's definitely number one. They probably put... Let me just say this. Kraft Ranch Dressing is not that great, but I'm assuming that they're going to put it there because it's the second most popular. Mm-hmm. So Kraft number two. They'll probably put Wishbone number three because it's the third most popular. And then they'll probably put Trader Joe's four, and they'll put Ken's five.
Well, you got the top two right, and you got the bottom three wrong. What do you have, Figgy?
I'm not that really picky about condiments like that, mm-hmm. but I do like I like Hidden Valley. I like Kraft.
Hidden Valley is one. Kraft is two. Then it's Ken's Steakhouse.
Never had it.
Trader Joe's, and then Wishbone.
Don't know anything about that. I'll tell you this. Hidden Valley is the best ranch dressing, and Saltgrass Steakhouse is up there too. But they don't follow that up. But if they did, it would be a rotation between Hidden Valley and Saltgrass. By the way, the Astros won yesterday. They won 5-1. Gerrit Cole with the W. George Springer returns to the lineup. Yuli Gurriel with a two-run bomb. Yordan Alvarez with an RBI double. What did we decide that Yordan Alvarez's nickname was?
Well, we said El Martillo, but somebody said El Mazo, which is the sledgehammer.
El Mazo?
Yeah.
El Martillo, I guess, is like a popular, it's I guess a there's
popular
a
term.
Popular term.
We'll just say El Mazo.
El Mazo.
The sledgehammer.
And I would be hard-pressed if I didn't go ahead and give a shout-out to one of the Houston legends, Mattress Mac. Apparently, he had a stroke scare yesterday. He was getting a checkup. He said he was feeling tingling in his arm, face, and leg. He was at the hospital yesterday, and he says he wants to encourage anybody who experiences the symptoms of those kind of things to get to a doctor and make sure you don't have a stroke. So shout out to Mattress Mac. Hopefully you get well, because you are a Houston staple and a Houston legend. Landry Locker, John Lopez with you, about to eat some lunch.
Yeah, we are.
The copycat game.
No
the
ranch
Texans
dressing over here, though.
Are allegedly copying the Patriots, and the Rockets are trying to copy the Warriors. Are they both making major mistakes? Lunchtime next.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.